A quick note before we begin this week's episode. This podcast represents my opinions and the opinions of my guests on this show, but this content should not be taken as medical advice. It is for informational purposes only, and because everyone is so unique in their own way, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical-related questions. Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kana Paranjape, the founder of All You Are, a women's lifestyle brand, an entrepreneur, writer, and mother. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your true desires and cultivate the courage to create the life that is meant for you. Your dreams are your soul's voice. They are worth your time and attention. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. I can't wait to meet you. Welcome back, everyone, to the Be All You Are podcast. On this week's episode, I am sitting down with Odette Lori. Odette is an incredible woman and shares an incredible story. She is a mom who studied psychology, clinical psychology, worked as a psychologist and social worker, went on to become a very successful business coach, and then hit a point in her life where it all just didn't feel right anymore. And Odette soon discovered and began exploring plant medicine. And now, today, Odette is a guide. She's a plant medicine guide and a coach. And I had my own experience with Odette almost 2 years ago now, which I've shared on the podcast. I shared my own personal experience with plant medicine, and that podcast link is in the show notes if you wanted to go tune into that. But in this week's episode, I am talking to Odette about her journey, about the power of plant medicine, about the healing properties of plants. And we just have a really profound conversation. Whether you have tried plant medicine before, whether you are curious about it or not, it is a wonderful conversation around tuning in to your inner voice, to getting to know the real you, all parts of you, and learning to love and accept all parts of you. And she shares a lot of wonderful tips and ideas that we can implement in our lives right now. I know I took notes while we were talking, and I'm sure that you will want to too. So please enjoy this conversation with Odette Lori. Welcome, Odette, to Be All You Are, my podcast, and I'm so happy that you're here.
Me too. Thank you. It's so great to see you. It's been a while.
You too. I have already explained to the audience that's listening about the work that you do and how you and I became connected and the profound impact you've had on my life through the work that you do. And I would love for you to share your journey to doing this work, because I know it's, you know, you haven't always been doing it. And I know personally what your background has been, and I find it so fascinating. And I'd love for you to share more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was always an entrepreneur in the business world, although my background is clinical and social psychology. I did a lot of flip-flopping between the business world and then going, I'm not really satisfied, but the money's good, so then I'll go and do social work stuff. And then the money's not that great, but I feel fulfilled, I'll go and do business. And so I did a lot of flip-flopping through my many years, and I landed on as a business coach, speaker coach, and a storytelling coach. And so I got really connected to people's story, including my own. And that evolved into me having a super successful business, doing a lot of amazing events, and then coming to a place after this one amazing event I did in Tampa, Florida. And everyone's like, my God, that was great. Like, you made it. You got to the top kind of thing. And I was like, I feel completely unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to do that again. And they're like, what are you talking about? You need to like rinse and repeat. And I'm like, I don't have it in me anymore. It's not in alignment. Mm-hmm. And when I was feeling the out of alignment, I still thought, okay, I might as well just keep trying because everyone is telling me to try. And things just stopped working. Mm-hmm. And I had a client who said, I'm going to a retreat in Costa Rica. It's ayahuasca. And I don't know if I'm like any of your listeners, but I had no idea what ayahuasca was. Mm-hmm. I Googled it and it was like, I still don't get it. I still don't understand the concept of it. And perhaps to my, you know, not to my detriment because here I am today, but I did ayahuasca for a week and it completely changed my life. And it wasn't an easy ride in that week. It wasn't all rainbows and butterflies because I had to see who I was, right? All of who you are doesn't always mean the beautiful stuff. I had to face the dark stuff. I had to face the things that were, you know, had warts and all. And I embraced it. And when I finished that retreat, I had this real feeling of something was missing on the inside. And it wasn't a missing, like, as in a good thing. It was like all the junk, all the drama, all the trauma felt gone. And I came back to Canada and I knew that I was going to work in this capacity, but didn't know how. I ended up coming back to Costa Rica a bunch of times, touring the country, doing a lot of plant medicine, and then doing plant medicine in Canada. But they were all guided journeys, never really recreational. And that's when things started to shift for me, when I got in alignment and I actually stopped being a business coach. Remember my last webinar was really fulfilling and it was like, yay, I'm done. You know, that sense of relief that I can now step into fully who I am and what I want to do. And I didn't really know it at the time, but it is this work. It was this much deeper work. So that's the journey of how I got here. Of course, the training and all of that stuff too. But
yeah, of course. Odette, what's it like to witness people as they go through the experience of plant medicine journey? Like, you know, obviously you and I had that experience together, and I've referred you to other people and you've had that experience with them. But I'm still curious, especially at the beginning when you first started doing it. It's one thing to go through it yourself, and it's another to hold space for somebody who's going through their own unique journey. What is that like?
No, that's actually a really great question. I've never been asked that question before, and it's actually probably one of the most profound questions because I do it because I love it, right? And but no one ever says, what does that feel like? Mm-hmm. And so having had the experience like, you know, 100 times before I actually became, I guided for somebody else, so in the training that I got, we did a lot of experiential, a lot of hands-on on learning. Mm-hmm. And when I actually went out the first time on my own and I was with another guide, he was a beautiful soul. He's still a client. I think we've done 10 ceremonies now. It was probably the most challenging experience of my life to witness someone in his particular case, just really nervous to let go of the resistance, to let go of the control. And just to hold space in letting that person, literally it was 4 or 5 hours of hanging on, and all of a sudden to witness the dissolving of the, I'm not going to say the ego, but the dissolving of that resistance to just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And then two and a half hours of pure bliss where there was a deep interaction between us as well. Not like a dialogue, but an energetic connection. And it was so profound. So holding space for someone who's afraid, which is very normal, who's in resistance. Most of my clients are like me who want to be in control. To watch that just go, I don't want this anymore, is that turning point in their transformation. And that's when I almost like, I just go, see, this is what I've been saying all along, like in my head, not the, I told you so, but just the, this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so when people emerge from that experience, you know, hours later, and they're like, 100% of the time they say that is not what I expected. Mm-hmm. And there is this beautiful sense of who they truly are. Mm-hmm. And I just sit in awe for them because I know the feeling of before and after. Mm-hmm. And it is, and it's not always, you know, oh my God, I feel like blissful and angels are singing to me. That's not always the case. Sometimes it's like, wow, that was a really challenging experience. Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad. I feel like I've cleaned up a lot of gunk that's been in my heart and in my soul that would never have come out had I not done mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like really witnessing something so intimate for a person, really, because it's not, you know, the point of going on that journey is because you need support in going somewhere you haven't been before, or you haven't been in a really, really, really long time, right? Never. And to witness that is like quite like an intimate thing, you know?
Very. And that's a good, yeah, that's a really good word. Mm-hmm. I hesitate to use that sometimes because you're working one-to-one with people or whatever, and I don't want to give that wrong impression, but it is. Yeah. One of the most profound experiences that I had was working with an older gentleman. He was 60, 68 or 69 at the time. Mm-hmm. And he had said to me near the end of the experience, he goes, you know, I know this is weird and I don't really want to ask you this, but can you just hold me? Mm-hmm. Now, in this work, there is an element of touch. There is an element of consensual. It has to be all, you know, I don't just go and start doing body work on people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To hug somebody.
Yeah.
Because he never had that as a child. He never mm-hmm. experienced that. And to be able to feel vulnerable enough and open enough, and this was the end of the medicine. It wasn't like in the thick of it, to yeah. say, hey, you know what? Can you just do that? And that, had I said no, or if, because there's, you know, a lot of clinical ways you can do the certain medicines, that would have been lost on him. And mm-hmm. so that changed his life. It completely yeah. changed his life, especially at that age.
At that age, I know, which is also so beautiful, like that it's not ever too late to you know, go on that journey and to connect with yourself in that way. It's never too old to do that.
No. And yeah. I started when I was 52. My first ceremony mm-hmm. was 52. And I never partaked as a kid yeah. in psychedelics. So mm-hmm. We didn't call it back then. You know, I didn't partake in mushrooms or anything like that. Yes, yes. In math class, you know, I never yes. did that.
Yeah. So yes, it was like yeah, that a new experience for you at the age of 52. Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you brought up a specific example because in my, I recorded another podcast episode about my own experience and my own journey. And I did talk a little bit about what a plant medicine ceremony looks like. Mm-hmm. But I would love for you to walk us through that. Like, what is it from end to end? What happens?
So plant medicine, a ceremony starts when you say yes to doing the ceremony, because mm-hmm. that's when things start to shift, as you know. Mm-hmm. When we're in our no and we're in our fear and we're in our like, I can't do this, and, you know, whatever excuses we have. But when we say yes, then all of a sudden the universe starts providing for you both challenging experiences, maybe, or just opening up the vortex for you mm-hmm. to start letting your guard down, letting some resistance down, and allowing the medicine to start doing its work. And so the first step is I need to get to know you. You need to get to know me. So there's that. So it starts with a family history intake questionnaire, which is quite detailed. Mm-hmm. As you know, it can take a while to fill out. But it gets to the nitty gritty. We all have these big, bolder moments of, oh, but I went through this divorce or this, you know, my children were born or the death of my parents or whatever. Those are big moments, but it's the little moments that we don't really remember growing up as a child, because most of our trauma and drama starts when we're, it can start in ancestral prior to us being born, but, mm-hmm. you know, just of this conversation, you know, it starts when we're kids.
Yeah.
And it's the smaller things that we make meaning of, mm-hmm. and then we live our life today based on those experiences. But they're basically the story. So it goes into my storytelling, mm-hmm. You know, business back in the day is mm-hmm. we tell ourselves stories. So once we know what those stories are, we're then able to cultivate what is the intention for the ceremony? What is the medicine that's going to be used for the ceremony? Mm-hmm. what's going to show up for you before the ceremony and during the ceremony, typically based on those stories, the storyboard that you've been telling yourself your entire life. A lot of those stories will dissolve before ceremony, which is so good because we don't want it. We're not trying to slay everything, slay the dragon. It's what's that next step that your inner healer is allowing for you to be healed. Mm-hmm. And so when we do the pre-work, a lot of that stuff can go, and then we get more closer to the nucleus of the of your trauma, drama, wound, challenge. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes it beautiful. So then the medicine can come in more easily to do what it needs to do. Mm-hmm. So the ceremony, the way I like to do them is they're a day long. We start in the morning. You're obviously given a treatment guide and you're prepped for what to expect. We really set an intention. And sometimes an intention is I'm just going to let the medicine do whatever it needs to do. Mm-hmm. So come with a laundry list of all these things that they want to have happen. And then we spend the day, you spend the day inside of the medicine. I spend the day guiding that and mm-hmm. holding that space. And depending, sometimes it's one medicine, sometimes it's two medicines, sometimes it's three. And then we just navigate what that looks like mm-hmm. for you and spend the day going through that experience. And I'm there to hold space for whatever shows up for you. And it most importantly is to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. You feeling secure, loved, connected, grounded. Mm-hmm. And then as you, and you're going to hit a peak. And so I like to do different medicines so that it's not just like up and down. We mm-hmm. kind of, you go up, you stay up a little bit, and then you come down really slowly and gently, hopefully land on a bed of feathers rather than a bed of rocks.
Yes, totally.
But, and then we sit in that, that ending of it and start the integration process. I don't like to get to people to get too heady because you're already in your head enough. Spend that time, at the end of the day and the night to just be on your own, to really relinquish the stuff that was gone mm-hmm. and to allow yourself to not overthink, but just to feel what it feels like to have that stuff gone. And then, the effects last for a couple of days for sure. You can drive the next day and all sorts of things, but, so that's sort of in a nutshell, what the experience is about without getting, too specific because your experience is that if you were to do it again, it would be completely different
than last time. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's so funny. And even now, like when I talk to some people and they're like, oh, and then after 4 hours, I was like ready. I took off my mask and I was like, 4 hours. I was like, I was under for 8 hours. And even then I remember you being like, Kayna, it's time.
Well, for hydration and, and for a little bit of movement, but, I mean, some people, those perhaps might, they might be less sensitive to the medicine. Not that you were sensitive, but a lot of people are heady. Like, okay, I'm done. Well, I had someone come out 2.5 hours. I'm like, wow.
And want their notebook so they could start taking notes immediately, right?
I've done several hundred ceremonies and I've seen it all. And I am always amazed every time I do a ceremony. It's like, wow, I never thought that would come out. But, yeah.
I love that. Actually, this is good. It's a good segue because you've done hundreds of ceremonies at this point. And I'm curious if you have some highlights in terms of lessons that you've learned going through this process over the last 4 years of a few years of witnessing, people going through ceremony. Were there sort of some highlights for you that you have sort of taken and applied to your own life?
Absolutely. So there's, double whammy because I have the experience of my own personal journeys and then being the guide. Number one is just have zero expectation. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, when I have someone who does it the first time, they have more fear or trepidation, not always. They have expectations, but mm-hmm. not quite the same. The second time, they have much greater expectation mm-hmm. because they're like, well, it went like this, so therefore it's going to be like that. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Yeah. Because you have to think of it as layers as well. Mm-hmm. So you go in for your first ceremony. And that's why the preparation is so important, to kind of get rid of some of those layers that aren't necessary, that they can just kind of fluff off. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but just let go of some of the meaningless things and let's get to the core. And is just forget about the expectations. Forget about the world for the day. We're all super important, but we're really not that important. You know, nobody needs to get a hold of us all the time. And the control thing is like, what are you really afraid of when people are going to medicine? Is they don't want to slip into, let's say, that state of unconscious state of, because they're afraid of what's going to happen, what's going to show up. Well, there's a trust element that your inner healer, we all have an inner healer, is going to only allow the healing that you can handle. So it's not about you're going to be, you know, crushed and sent to the, you know, to the black hole of and never come out again kind of thing. It's like, oh my God, I had a friend who, you know, but they were ready for that. So your inner healer knows, and you need to trust that your inner healer is going to allow whatever the medicine to do that you're ready for. Which also is that next important thing is we all, you know, a lot of people are worried about it being a dark journey. Well, as human beings, there's many sides to us. And in our society, we mask sadness or anger or fears with medication, antidepressants, anti-anxieties, alcohol, drugs, sleep, sex, whatever it is, we mask those feelings.
Yeah.
And so we actually don't know what to do with ourselves when we have those feelings. Well, what if you can just scream into a pillow or cry, allow for those emotions, because we're multidimensional human beings.
Yeah.
And so people don't want to feel those things, but the way through something is to, you need to feel it.
Yeah.
Another element is you're not going to think your way through this. We've talked about that, right? Remember, it's like there's no way your brain is going to be able to compartmentalize what the experience is. So you need to feel it inside of your body. And we're also a society where we're cut off between our head and our heart. Like this highway is often under construction. So we don't want to feel. But that's where the healing is. And the trauma is in the body. It's in the cellular memory. It's not in our head. So, and just finally, I mean, I could talk forever on this, but we often fear more about fearing the thing rather than the thing.
So yes, it's the feeling of fear that we dread most of all. I mean, it's funny. I think what I love about all the things that you're talking about is they're obviously analogies for life, right? And it's just that in the ceremony, you're confronted with them in a much more intense way. But they're all analogies for life, like knowing that you have an inner healer and you know, letting go of expectation. Like, these are all things that allow us to live life in a more full way and to embrace life in, like, as you said, with all aspects of our humanity.
Exactly. And, you know, people say, for instance, they come into a ceremony and they think or they want or they come for a reason.
Yeah.
So let's say you feel stuck in a career and relationship and you feel that stuckness, right? That might not be what shows up in the day in the ceremony, or it might be something with, you know, with our parents or whatever. And they're like, I often hear, well, I'm surprised. That never came to me.
Yeah.
Because that's actually not the thing that's really holding you back. Something else is holding you back, but we focus. So I was talking to a client today about that. When you focus on right at what the pain or the struggle that you have right in front of you, that's just a camouflage for the deeper issue and the deeper wound. And you know, what's also wonderful, what I see more often than not, is how beautiful people feel about themselves during the ceremony and after.
Yeah.
And I think that it's the self-discovery piece. People don't want to see themselves. And they're afraid that they're going to see something they don't like. And I say, well, that's great, because then you can get rid of it. But maybe you won't see that side of you. Maybe you're going to see the side that is that everybody else sees, but just that's who you are at your core, mm-hmm. which is this loving, incredible human being.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that way, because we're told so much, whether it's directly or indirectly with messaging, that we're not good enough. We don't have enough. We're not being enough. We're not showing up. We should be better. We could be better. When really you're perfect just who you are, no matter what.
Yeah. And I love that. And I love how you've been talking a lot about that inner healer, that you have that power within you, right? And one of the things that I talk about a lot on this podcast and with the women in my programs is how we connect to that inner voice, right? So it's all sort of that inner world, the healer and the guide and all that, you know, that inner voice. And I'm curious how you coach or guide people post-ceremony to reconnect to that voice. Because I think that's always like an interesting thing of like, how do we silence the noise? How do we reconnect to that inner knowing inside of us?
Well, we're all born with intuition and a gut instinct, right? Mm-hmm. Like just, you know, but growing up as a kid, and as well as, you know, in school and all sorts of things, we're taught in a way, not directly, but mm-hmm. to not go with your gut instinct. That has to be science-based, or it has to be mathematical-based, or it has to be a reason, it has to be logical. Mm-hmm. When none of that really matters. What matters is your gut instinct and your intuition. So all of it really is getting acquainted again with your intuition mm-hmm. and retrusting in yourself. And so most people will make decisions out of fear, not out of trust. Oh, I can't do this because of the money, or I can't do this because it's not the right mm-hmm. time. No, you're in business. You hear it all, right?
Yeah.
But then we don't go, it's what I really want though. So we don't listen to what we really want. We listen mm-hmm. to what we think we should have, what we think we should do based on society or our conditioning or our upbringing. We're also taught to not enjoy life and things as much as we have the potential to do so.
That's a big one.
That is. That's actually a huge one. And I just mm-hmm. kind of said that. I don't know where that came from. I don't think I've ever said that before, but it's true because it's not the right time, or, you know, the, it's such a shame how we are conditioned to grow up to be almost robotic in life rather than free flowing, and free spirited. Cause that's all when we're all kids, take a look at your own kid, how, you know, free spirited they are.
Yes.
Have intuition and a gut and just allow for it. And then
my gosh, that's so true. I was like actually just saying to my group the other day how we have a wildish nature, right? Like we are the same as every other living thing on earth. But we've created this world that is so artificial in so many ways. And we've like boxed ourselves off that we aren't like a part of that world, right? Like we're separate from it. And then but what the problem with that is, we're boxing ourselves in, and we're like, you know, and on the outside of it is that like freedom and like just pure, the joy that you see in a child, that for grownups, we don't even know how to go there. A lot of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, because we lose that playfulness mm-hmm. and, you know, we can talk about this all day long, but really the answer is, what is it that you truly want? Wow. I can guarantee that 99% of the world are not showing up in the happiness and the joy that they truly want, because they're just so dictated by the things that they feel they have to do.
Yeah.
And it really is, it is a shame to.
Yeah, it is. And I love what you said about like making, and I think this is such a simple distinction, and it's like somebody could use this when they're making a decision, is like, am I making this decision based on fear or on trust? Like, I love that you said that, because it's quite clear, you know, it's almost like whenever you're about to make a decision, and if you're like, I don't know, is this my intuition? My intuition is like, and maybe you don't have that relationship with your intuition, but you can notice if you're making a call based on a sense of fear of something or a sense of trust. And I love that you said that.
Yeah. And I think people need coaches, you know, like yourself, or they need to be some type of community. Like I had a call with a lady for the retreat that I'm putting on. And she said to me today, it was very typical. Oh my God, I totally trust that the money's coming. I get like the money's there, you know, da, 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 da. And then, you know, so I said, okay, so here's the payment link. What do you, oh, well, hang on a second. I need to check that. And then in the same breath, it's like, yeah, but I trust that it'll be, you know. But, so I said, what's the block then? If you trust, then you trust. But, well, there's no fear. There's no block. And so people don't know that there's a block.
Yeah.
And so there's that disconnect. So we distilled it down to find out what that core fear is.
Yeah.
And that's where we lack that self-trust. And so when we can address that, that we're honest. So the step number one is you need to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter to me whether you trust yourself or not. What matters is that you want to make a transformation, right? It's not.
Yeah.
And so step number one is just to be honest with yourself. And this is what I'm really scared about. And that's okay. Then you can make a change. And right. Most people don't trust their gut anymore. They just like, they don't.
Yeah, so true. It's so true. And, you know, actually just this week in my group, I asked women to think of a time when they did trust their gut and what came out of it. And as they were sharing their stories, their faces lit up and they like were just like, you could just tell their energy went up a bunch of levels because there was this sense of like flow and freedom in making that decision and how it was against what like they would have thought if they were to like do a pros and cons list or try to be rational. It was against that, right? And what like the beautiful things that that led to. And so I was asking them like, what if you trusted yourself more of the time? I won't even say all of the time because that can feel like a challenge when we're not used to it. But like, what if you trusted yourself more of the time? What would that feel like?
Yeah. Exactly. So sometimes it's like, okay, so can you, so create that scenario where you trust asking your boss for a raise that you deserve it.
Yeah.
And women are famous for this, right? Like they just ask for what they want, you know, it's, I don't know how many times I hear this over the course of my 20 years of coaching when I'm offering a coaching program or whatever, like I have to go ask my husband.
Yeah.
And I honestly, okay, maybe because I've been single for most of my life, you know, raised kids on their own. And I kind of go, because it's not, why ask for permission? Because they don't feel confident and they don't trust themselves on the inside. All of my male clients, not one man has ever said that.
Yeah.
They might have said, look, I'm going to consult with my wife that I'm doing this.
I'm going to consult. It's very different. That's right.
It is. It's totally different. And why do we ask for permission? And the thing is because we just don't trust ourselves and we lack the confidence. And
oh my gosh, Odette, this is so good. You know what's funny too is that I was, and so you're talking about coaching and then I was actually had a call a few months ago with an executive coach. And so he coaches high-level CEOs in the tech industry. And he and I were just having sort of a check-in conversation. And he was telling me that very similar to your experience and to what you're saying, that the men have a conversation. They know what they need. They're like, yep, you're the guy. I know I need this. It's right for my business. It's right for me. Sign me up. The women who are also equally senior level, equally, you know, experienced, leading teams, all of it, no different. They need time. I'm not sure. I have to see if it fits in our budget. Like there's so much waffling. Like I need to talk to my CEO. Like, you know, there's all of these things that got, that happen. And he shared that with me as a way of almost like, you know, encouraging me do this work because it's really needed.
Absolutely. And then, but then we also need to, you know, as representations of those, women who are making decisions, we need to make those decisions as well.
Ourselves. That's right. We have to embody it. It's so true. It's like, it's such a good way to not let ourselves off the hook, right? Because you can't be asking other women to do it and then not do it yourself.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I want to shift to another question for you, Odette. And that is, you know, in all your years of healing and healing, you know, your own personal traumas and your own experience and everything, do you have any tools or, you know, activities or things that you do when you are feeling in that, you know, either dysregulated or stuck or just low, you know, feeling low? Are there mm-hmm. things that you do to bring yourself to a higher place?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I wish I could say, I don't feel dysregulated. I don't get my, you know, and it's funny. I do have some clients who go, you feel like that too? You've got that going on. I'm like, yes, I'm a human being. Yes,
yeah, of course.
Right. You know, you teach what you learn or you teach what you know how they feel. Mm-hmm. So we actually have to have more of it.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
I'm like, sometimes I'm like, universe. Well, the other day I was like, all right, universe, no more. You have got to stop. So that's one thing that I do is I have regular conversations with the universe, just channeled through me. I'm like, you know, I have argued with the universe. I have yelled at the universe.
Yeah.
And I have said, this is exactly what I want. This is what I'm needing. And no messing around now. And honest to God, it does. Like, I got a couple scenarios. I practice EFT, so emotional freedom technique.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to do this myself for clients. The reason why I took the training program was so that I could learn it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing a lot of tapping, mm-hmm. Which has been wildly game changer for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do breath work. Mm-hmm. So there's different types of breath work. Holotropic breath work is something that's really important. Because it moves the trauma. So, mm-hmm. and it can also feel like a bit of a psychedelic experience. And I'm not talking about like box breathing and things like that, although those are important for in the moments, but full on breath work that you can do for 5 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
Some meditation. I love the and I just want to give some simple things because you can, you know, like you can't just drop and do breath work in the middle of a day. The Ho'oponopono prayer is something super powerful. That is, you know, you get into a state of, you know, I thank you, I love you, I forgive you. And it's a beautiful, really simple message so that if I'm talking to someone that's challenging, I will think of the Ho'oponopono prayer or it gets me into a space of, acceptance and gratitude and love. And so that's something that's really simple. I never used to be the greatest meditator,
mm-hmm.
but now what I do, so there's another thing that you can do. It's called just non-doing. Mm-hmm. So there's meditation, of course. There's non-doing where you're literally just sitting and not doing anything, which is really hard for multitasking, busy moms and stuff like that. But it's so refreshing.
Mm.
And so for my non-doing has to include a cup of coffee or something. And I'll just sit there and I will just drink my coffee and have a quiet moment and just not do. And my mind might race of 1,000 things I need to do. And it's like, oh, I've got to get it done. There's that. Another thing is nature. Now, mm-hmm. I was thinking about this the other day. We, you know, we have postage size backyards. If we even have a backyard, if you really have to see. Where's the nature? You have to go to nature.
Yeah.
And so we got to go to the park, whatever. But it's so important to get your feet in the dirt and play in the rain and like feel the rain, feel the sun, feel the earth, feel you know, trees and things like that, because they have such an energy to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting more and more disconnected from nature. And that's one of the reasons why I moved to Costa Rica, was to be inside of nature.
Yeah.
So just some of the simpler things.
I love those. Those are really helpful. And I want to, you know, get the prayer from you that you mentioned or find out where to, so that I can link to it in the show notes so people can find it.
Oh, absolutely. I wish I could spell it, but it's Ho'oponopono prayer.
I know. That's why I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to need to follow up on that one.
H-O-O-P-O-P-N-I, something like that.
Which, like, yeah, I think we'll just put it in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. But,
it's funny. I mean, I love all the things you said, and nature for sure is on that list, but it just made me think of my daughter the other day. We were driving and it started raining. It hasn't rained in a long time. And she was like, I love the rain, Mom. I miss it. And I just thought it was so, like, again, when we talk about how kids, like, I think all I noticed about the fact that it was raining was that I had to turn on my windshield wipers. Like, that was like what I felt, right? Like, I didn't feel a connection to the rain. I felt like, oh, I need to turn on my windshield wipers now, you know?
Yeah.
But for her, it was like, oh, it's the rain. And she, like, had a connection to it, you know?
So then I encourage you next time is, well, you're obviously in the car, so stop the car or get out of the car whenever you can and just stand there and get wet.
Yeah.
Just get wet.
Yeah.
And so I do that a lot here in Costa Rica. Well, when it's rainy season, you don't have a choice. But a lot of my friends are like, oh, my God, it's raining. And I'm like,
I want to get wet.
I'm going to walk when it's raining. And it is so cleansing. Like, I can't. You know, or the snow. Like, I just,
Yeah, so I agree. I think that's so important. Okay, so I want to shift a little bit because this podcast is called Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening Podcast. And I really called this podcast because I was having conversations with women who were coming to me and saying, I'm having a midlife crisis. And I'm like, oh, I don't know that it's a crisis. I think you're waking up to something, you know, that knowing inside of you. And it feels a bit like a crisis because it feels disruptive, but it's actually not a crisis. And I know you hinted at your age, Odette, because you said that you were, you started.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I know that's not true. But anyway, I would love to hear about how you yourself personally are experiencing, you know, life at this stage.
Yeah, that's a great question. I've always grown up with the fear of getting older for whatever reason. Fear of dying. I had that as a kid, and just getting older. So the experience that I had at 52 with doing the ayahuasca was not a rock bottom moment or anything like that. My rock bottom moment was I think 10 years prior to that or something like that. When both of my parents died at the same time, I became an orphan. That's when you really confront part of your mortality, when your parents are dead and you're like, wow, it's like I'm on my own. It doesn't matter. You can have 87 brothers and sisters, but you're like, they're gone. And I didn't really have a great relationship with them either. But so I found that really kind of fascinating. As my kids started to age, my kids are 26 and 24, which makes me gulp a lot because I'm like, wow, where did that happen? Turning 50 was a challenge, but turning 55, 56, 57 has been a bit of a creeper for me. I wish, I'm going to be dead honest, I wish I was one of those women that were like, oh, I don't care how old I am. It's just an age. It's just a number. And I'm like, no, it is a number.
Yeah.
Like, it's a significant number. Okay. And so I had speaking to a client today, her 65th birthday is coming up.
Okay.
And it's a monumental. So we were talking about the age thing. So I have struggled with that because I don't want to get older because I don't feel 57.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I feel, but I feel in my 30s. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this and that. And sometimes I like to my kids, I'm like, yeah, let's go to the concert or whatever. And like, really? I'm like, yeah. And so I don't know if I act my age, which is probably, you know, a good thing. But I think my midlife crisis really came when my parents died. I was in a blended family relationship that ended. I had just started my coaching, my new coaching company. And then I got really sick and it all happened within 6 months. And that was my rock bottom moment. And I thought, how am I going to climb out of this? This feels like a crisis. And it was a crisis, but in order to have shiny, in order to be a butterfly, you need to be the caterpillar. And so we have to have the crises in our lives in order to merge above them.
Yes.
And so if you can look at things that way, that it is an awakening, you and I get that, but to people who haven't got that awakening, woken up enough, they go into crisis, they stay in crisis, and then they keep staying in crisis and staying in crisis until either a bigger crisis happens or they die. Most people don't have an awakening.
Yeah.
And so for me, it doesn't matter what age you are. I have a lot of clients who are in their 20s and having awakenings. And I'm like, I wish I did too at that time.
Yeah.
But it's really, an awakening is very, very hard because you have to abandon everything that you've known.
Yeah.
You have to give up the safety nets that we have had there. And all of our stories, all of our fears and all of our doubts were our safety net that kept us protected.
Yeah.
Might have kept us small and held us back, but we would rather hang on to what little we have in those feelings because it's the known.
Mm-hmm.
And so an awakening and a crisis, whatever, is about stepping into the unknown.
Yes.
Most people don't want to do that. And it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So
do you think, Odette, that if they knew, like what we're talking about now, that if they knew, like if someone were to tell them, yes, you're in crisis, like not to deny what you're experiencing right now. Yes, it feels scary. Yes, there's a lot of unknown, like, you know, there's the vast unknown in front of you. But if you choose to embrace this, like if you choose to not even embrace, because it's like, who wants to embrace a crisis? But like, if you choose to keep going and keep growing, then your metamorphosis, like, you know, that butterfly is waiting, like it, you know, it's waiting for you. And do you think that that is part of what is missing, is that nobody is like, they're not hearing that message. And so that it's like, well, I don't know what else to do, but to like swim around in this crisis indefinitely or tread water in this crisis indefinitely, you know?
Well, I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, is that it's about facing who you are.
Yeah.
And most people don't want to do this. I've been coaching for a long time, and being and also in this psychedelic space is a little bit different, because usually people I talk to, they're ready for that transformation.
Yeah.
You need to face you, and you need to face that the decisions perhaps that you've made aren't necessarily the ones that serve your highest purpose, or maybe you've outgrown them. Like, how many women do you know, or people that do you know, stay in a marriage because it's easy and convenient, but it's not what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make up all sorts of reasons and excuses.
Yeah.
So it's easy to say those words just to embrace it. But what if it's, so what I like to do is just break it down into bite-sized chunks and say, what's that next right step for you that would make you still feel safe, but would be growth?
Yes.
And so it's like, okay. And then we really dissect, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the simplest things. It's not about quitting a job or leaving a relationship or whatever. It could just be joining a Zumba class or starting to, you know, whatever, like something as simple as that. And it seems silly to some, but that's the baby step. So we need to rebuild that courage.
Yes.
We can actually have the life that we want. Because when I ask someone, what do you want? What do you really want? I'll get a laundry list of the things they don't want.
That's so true. Women have such a hard time actually saying what they want. It's true. Yeah.
So, So it's challenging. It takes time. But all I can do sometimes, the only way I can get through my crises or whatever, there's nothing to do, is just to sit and to breathe and to feel it. And this is too much for most people, is that they can't just sit and feel it because it hurts. But I can promise them, like I do, that if you go through that and you breathe 5 more times and go through that and feel that discomfort, you will be out the other side of it far faster than trying to deke around it. But we don't want to do that.
You know what? I think there's a famous quote, and I'm going to have to look up, and unless you know who said it, but basically, this person said that most of society's problems come from the inability of people to be able to sit in a room alone and just like feel their feelings. Like, most of our problems as a society come from that issue.
Yeah. I don't know the quote, but that is exactly, exactly it, is to just to be on your own with those thoughts. And we need to embrace that we're multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
and to, yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing more beautiful for me to be in a crisis, to have shit blow up in my face, because I know now that that just means there's something on the other side of it. And I can lean into that trust. Doesn't mean I won't be doing it kicking and screaming sometimes.
Yes, yes.
Doesn't mean I won't be angry, but I know that on the other side of that anger is a bigger breakthrough. And that's how I live my life now. Is oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So. What you just said, Odette, is huge. And it's so mm-hmm. powerful, right? Like if we all had that awareness that I'm going through this, it feels like a crisis, but if I can hang on, there's something more waiting for me on the other side. And I trust that. That is like, my goodness, it's like sets you free.
It does. And the mm-hmm. only thing you need to do is just breathe through it. Just mm-hmm. breathe, mm-hmm. breathe,
breathe.
Lots of breathing. And then for
which
me
which is
now,
what you also tell us in ceremony, right? Like it's, again, such an analogy for right. life. It's like that's what you... I remember when I had trouble letting go at the beginning of my ceremony, you just kept telling me to breathe. And I remember just like focusing completely on my breath as a way to just sit with whatever it was that I was feeling so that I could get to the other side of it.
Yeah. And I remember that because I remember the moment you did, because not everybody does, right? The moment you did, it just, it became, well, what appeared on the outside, just a much more blissful
yes.
experience. I could feel you letting go of that dissolving of that control.
Yes.
And, you know, because you can control a journey. Just, mm-hmm. It makes it a very not comfortable journey though. Mm-hmm. But you can let that go. And mm-hmm. what I try to help people who are struggling with that is, so picture your heart. Breathe into your heart. So you're breathing in love into your heart. And then you breathe out. You see your heart expanding. Mm-hmm. You see your heart contracting. So you're actually breathing in through the heart.
Yeah.
And so that really gives people a visual and something to anchor mm-hmm. their thought on, rather than the thought of the monkey brain. They just they see their heart.
Yeah. Right?
Or picture your favorite person or your favorite pet in front of you, smiling at you. Just breathe and look at them, stay connected. And that takes you down so many notches.
Anxiety. Yeah. So, Odette, I wanted to ask, what is coming up next for you? So how can people connect with you, work with you, learn about more about what you're doing? Tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of different ways. One is I have a retreat, a mm-hmm. week-long retreat coming up in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. It's May 26th to June 1st. And in this retreat, it's a retreat I created for one that I wanted to go to, mm-hmm. and I could never find one, so I created it. And it does have a psychedelic component to it a day, but it also has cacao ceremony and sound healing. It has a sweat lodge, which is a very deeply spiritual experience mm-hmm. in indigenous cultures, mm-hmm. As well as a lot of free time and a lot of beach and jungle experiences and all of that. And you're with like-minded people who are ready for that deeper transformation, because you can then borrow from them their healing and their journey. So it becomes a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. So there's the retreat. And I also work privately one-to-one with people. So if people are interested, the first step is always filling out a form and application mm-hmm. And then having a conversation with me to make sure that you're ready for the retreat or private or whatever. And then we go from there to see what is the best fit for you. So the retreat's called the Soul Journey Retreat, because okay. to me, this experience is about deepening at the soul level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. It sounds amazing. I will make sure to include the links to your website and to the retreat and everything in the show notes here. So you'll find them there. A couple more questions before we wrap up, Odette.
Yep.
The first one, and this is a question I ask all of our guests, what do you think it means to be all you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to go back to one of the things that I said at the beginning and throughout the thing is you need to discover who you are, all of who you are. And that includes the light stuff, the dark stuff, the great stuff, the not so great stuff, whatever terminology. But as human beings, in order to have a light side, we have to have a dark side. Mm-hmm. And the dark side is part of us. And we spend our whole life shielding ourselves or avoiding the dark side. But the dark side isn't a bad part of us. It's just a part of us. Like you can't have light and day, night and day, or the sun and the moon, like they all coincide. And so all of who you are is that self-discovery of all of who you are. And some of the stuff, you know, I go, you know, I used to have more anger management issues that still flare up, and, you know, and I love that part of me now, as opposed to not liking that part of me. Mm-hmm. And then there's the self-acceptance piece. Accept all of who you are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the warts, everything. When you can accept you, who you are, how you've shown up for X number of years in your life, and how you're showing up today, you can then move into self-light, self-love, and all of that stuff. But most people try to go from here to self-love, and it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You need to really accept you first. And so all of who you are is, like I said, is just the good, the bad, the ugly. And then you love each and every one of those parts equally. It's like when you have multiple children or multiple animals or whatever.
Yeah.
Multiple friends. You love them unconditionally, period.
Yes.
And that's really what's important. So love every part of you.
Love it. That's so beautiful. I think that's the perfect place to end. Thank you so much, Odette, for joining me and for this conversation. And it was lovely. And I mean, I know that my listeners are going to take away so much from this. I know I have. And like I always do when we talk. So thank you so much. Well, wasn't that an incredible conversation? I loved it so much. I wish I could have talked to her for so much longer. I would love to hear what you think about this episode. If you would share it, Instagram and tag me, or send me a note, either DM me, Kana_allyouare, or you can reach out to me via my website, allyouare.ca. And before I go, I want to share with you a little bit more about my signature group program, Be All You Are. So Be All You Are is a 6-month transformational program meant for women 35 and up who are at a stage where they're ready for change. So you are ambitious, you're driven, you've seen a lot of success in your life, regardless of where that is, whether it's in the corporate world or as an entrepreneur, but you're ready to go deeper into who you are and to find work that fills you up, that allows you to experience abundance, not just financially, but in your life, in how you experience life. And you are ready to take on that challenge and what it means. You may be feeling feelings of anxiety or worry around what it means to disrupt your life. If you are 35 and up, you've obviously created a life around you, and you may be worried about how a new path might change things or put things at risk. You know, you have a mortgage, you have kids and a partner, you have a career, a reputation. What this program is about helping you face some of those fears, make friends with them so that they no longer feel so big, and so they no longer act as blocks towards your dreams and towards what is meant for you and what is calling you. We're going to plant the seeds towards the career, work, life that you really want. And I'm going to be there with you, guiding you step by step through a beautiful 6-month program, along with incredible women just like you, linking arms next to you, doing the same work themselves. If you are interested in learning more about Be All You Are, excuse me, send me a DM on Instagram. Let's book a call and chat about where you are in your life. And even if you're mildly curious, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me via Instagram or through my website, allyouare.ca. And I will see you next week. Have a great week, friends. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. To hear more about the podcast, follow me over on Instagram at @Kena_allyouare. Send me a DM. I'd love to hear from you. And if you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a 5-star review. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.